Broadcasting from the studios of KCCU on the campus of Cameron University, this is the Texoma Report. I'm Melissa Beck, and now the news. Gaps in mental health treatment have led to a drastic six-year increase in crisis calls to Oklahoma City Police. State Impact's Quentin Chandler reports that at a time when officer conduct is under intense scrutiny, police and mental health providers say law enforcement shouldn't even be involved in most mental health calls.
It was almost 11 p.m. when two Oklahoma City police cruisers blocked Northwest 106th Street in both directions. Flipping on the bedroom lights, police told a sleepy 71-year-old named George Crooks to get dressed. It was time to go.
I think they said, get your clothes on and your psychologist has issued an emergency order of detention. We're going to take you to an emergency room and have you evaluated.
Crooks slipped on his shoes and told the officers he had expected them.
I saw some neighbors and I waved my hand at him. I said, don't worry, there's no problem.
Crooks had been depressed for weeks. He was losing sleep, worrying that he might need to fire an employee. And then suddenly, he was euphoric, telling people he was invincible and driving recklessly. Crooks' family tried convincing him to get help, but when he refused to check himself into a hospital, his sister, who lives next door, called the police.
That manic state makes you think that, you're invincible, there's nothing wrong with you. It's everybody that's telling you you're not doing well, something's wrong with them.
Crooks has been picked up by the police at least 50 times since his early 20s. Friends, family, or a counselor called for help. He has bipolar disorder, and he's part of a larger pattern. Each year, Oklahoma City Police respond to thousands of calls related to mental illness and behavioral health. Between 2013 and 2019, the frequency of those calls nearly doubled. Oklahoma City Police Captain Jeffrey Pierce has made a career of answering them. Now he trains officers in crisis intervention. The department even has a crisis intervention team.
It's not something we even want to do.
Pierce thinks this job is the most rewarding work he's done in his 32 years on the force, but he doesn't think police should be doing it.
The system has to adjust to keep the police out of it as much as possible. That's really the only way you're going to reduce the stigma.
The stigma that people with a mental illness are dangerous is part of the reason the state legislature ordered police to respond to people in crisis. State-funded care is supposed to fill the gaps in treatment for low-income and uninsured Oklahomans, but available beds are scarce, and encounters between armed police and these vulnerable people continue to climb.
It's unfortunate that we're in a situation as law enforcement officers, not only here but nationwide, of having to put people in the back of a police car behind a cage and take them for mental health treatment. That's horrible.
Calls were up 5% in the first half of this year as compared to the same time in 2019. The national debate over policing is putting officers' response to mental health in the spotlight. The risk of being killed during a police encounter is 16 times greater for individuals with untreated mental illness, according to a 2015 report by the Treatment Advocacy Center. In Oklahoma City, Captain Pierce teaches willing officers how to approach a person in crisis.
Not everybody, not every officer is cut out for it. Not every officer wants to do it.
All patrol officers answer mental health calls, but only 14% have the specialized crisis intervention training. The department doesn't track how many people with mental illness are killed or hurt in its custody, and it refused multiple requests to review use of force reports. Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services Commissioner Carrie Slatton Hodges believes the increase in police crisis calls is tied to gaps in mental health care.
You want to serve any person who walks in the door.
But Slatton Hodges says service providers, partially supported by her agency, can't help everybody because there isn't enough funding. In fiscal years 2011 and 2012, the Department of Mental Health's funding was cut by more than 8% due to a state funding crisis. When funds are low, mental health services are prioritized for those who are most sick. But without early intervention and consistent support, symptoms go untreated, become worse, and can trigger a crisis. Slatton Hodges says catching people early is always better.
Because if we can catch you then, in the long run, your prognosis is better, our overall costs are going to be better, etc.
Over the past decade, the agency's budget has grown about 15%, but its hands are tied. Much of that new money was locked in by lawmakers to fund specific programs. Those programs serve Oklahomans with specific needs, but leave others behind.
I wouldn't go if it weren't for the police.
When George Crooks becomes manic, he tends to think he's smarter than everyone else. In the past, he has experienced delusions. He's told people he was the son of God and Napoleon. Crooks is 73 now, and he advocates for people like him as executive director of the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance of Oklahoma. His family says he can seem scary when he's manic. They fear that one day he might scare police into being too aggressive.
You know, it's kind of frightening.
Slatton Hodges says Oklahoma needs an entirely new system. She pointed to programs adopted by other states in which police largely become the last responder. But that would require a massive investment by the state. For State Impact, I'm Quentin Chandler.
KCCU encourages you to be safe and stay well. That's the news for this edition of the Texoma Report. For KCCU, I'm Melissa Beck. The Texoma Report is a production of KCCU News. For more information about featured stories aired during the program, go online to kccu.org or visit our Facebook page.